Welcome. You are listening to Park Avenue Podcasts, and this is Rabbi Elliot Cosgrove. While it's always better to hear it live, this is a place to be to catch the music, sermons, and select programs of Park Avenue Synagogue. If you like what you are hearing or want to learn more about the community, please check out our website at www.pasyn.org. Enjoy our latest installment.
Yontev Chag Sameach, everybody. Chag Sameach, Chag Sameach. This month marks the 70th anniversary of the passing of my predecessor, one of my rabbinic predecessors at Park Avenue Synagogue, Rabbi Milton Steinberg of blessed memory. He passed away on March 20th, 1950, dying tragically of a heart attack at the young age of 46 years old. He served as rabbi from 1933 to 1950. He was perhaps the founding rabbi of Park Avenue Synagogue in its modern era. Beyond that, he was also one of the chief ideologues of Reconstructionist Judaism. He was the right-hand man to Mordechai Kaplan. He was the translator of the Reconstructionist prayer book. He was also, of course, an author and theologian in his own right. His books, As a Driven Leaf, adorned so many bookshelves, Basic Judaism for Generations, passed out as a primer for tradition for those exploring our faith. Given the impossible task on the 70th anniversary of his Yahrzeit to encapsulate the totality of Rabbi Steinberg's rabbinate in one brief talk, sermon, drasha, his pastoral presence, his felicitous pen, his leadership qualities, I want to speak to one particular Passover sermon that was delivered sometime in the 1940s that was reconstructed by way of notes that were preserved in a volume by Bernard Mandelbaum here and available at the Park Avenue Library. The sermon is a sermon which is about the fourth child of the Passover Haggadah, the child whom we've read about all of these last few nights, the one who is She'eno Yodea Lish'ol, the one who, unlike his older siblings, does not even know how to ask a question. Steinberg's sermon that day began simply enough. But in exploring the meaning of this enigmatic fourth child, the one who cannot ask, he goes on to cite another sermon, this one that was delivered by Rabbi Levi Yitzchak of Berdichev, who lived around 1740 to 1810, one of the most saintly figures of 18th century Hasidism. Rabbi Levi Yitzchak of Berdichev was one of the great defenders of their people. He was a man who knew great personal suffering, the loss of his child, as well as the travails as experienced by his own people, and who was not afraid to call God to task in these moments of personal and national crisis. The Haggadah speaks of four sons, Rabbi Levi explains, one wise, one wicked, one simple, and one who does not know how to ask. Lord of the world, I, Levi Yitzchak, am the one who does not know how to ask. Lord of the universe, even if I did know, I would dare not ask. How could I venture to ask you, God, why everything happens as it does, why we suffer, why we are driven from one exile to another, why our foes are allowed to torment us? Rabbi Levi continued in his cry to God, but the Haggadah explains to the father of this fourth child, the father must take the initiative. Lord of the world, are you not my father? Am I not your son? I do not even know what questions to ask. I do not beg you to reveal to me the secret of your ways. I couldn't comprehend it, Levi Yitzchak said. But please show me one thing. Show me the meaning of what is happening to me at this moment. Show me what it demands of me. Show me what you, Lord of the universe, are telling me through it. I do not ask why I suffer. I only ask to know that I suffer for your sake. I only ask to know that I suffer for your sake. It is a terse and hurt-filled homily, a message preached by Rabbi Levi Yitzchak some 2.5 centuries ago in the midst of exile and torment, a message re-delivered by Rabbi Steinberg on the Upper East Side at some point in the early 1940s. The fourth child, bearing both a remarkable concession and an insistent demand. On the one hand, I do not ask why I suffer, but on the other hand, I do ask to know only that I suffer for your sake. Levi Yitzchak knows the inevitability of pain. He knows the life of quiet desperation that most men lead. He accepts pain as an unwelcome but necessary part of the human experience. Levi Yitzchak is theologically modest enough not to ask why suffering exists. But what he wants to know is if there is a bigger purpose to his suffering. In secular terms, is there something to could come out of all of it? And I think perhaps it's the same question asked by Levi Yitzchak that guided Steinberg that Passover morning. Steinberg's intellectual legacy touched the full range of Jewish study and concern. But in those final few years, when this sermon was written at the peak of Steinberg's intellectual prowess, he led our community through the shadows of the Shoah, not to mention his own failing health. He stood face to face with what his student and pride of our congregation, Arthur Cohen, once called the tremendum, the unspeakable theological questions of the Shoah. Steinberg had to contend with the overwhelming thought raised by a God under whose watch the Holocaust took place. Steinberg, given his national profile, was asked to speak again and again to mobilize American Jewry, to provide relief to refugees, to raise funds on their behalf, to build up the State of Israel, and most difficult of all, to make sense of the Shoah to a Jewry in search of meaning. To give you but one of many examples, I'm always touched by what I believe to be Rabbi Steinberg's most heart-searing address entitled When I Think of Sarai, which was delivered at the Waldorf Astoria to the Women's Division of the United Jewish Appeal in 1944. In it, Steinberg speaks of Sarai, quote, a village situated in the Lithuanian county of Suwalki, just to the east of the old German frontier. A village, in Steinberg's words, whence my family stems, where my father was born. I say, writes Steinberg, that I've been thinking about Sarai a great deal of late, because I cannot think about all of Europe's Jews, the 6 million dead, the 1.5 million of walking skeletons. Such numbers are too large for me to embrace. The anguish they represent are too vast for my comprehension. And so I think of Sarai instead. In that speech, Steinberg recounted, imagine people and scenes of this village that's no longer, the countless Sarais destroyed by the Nazis. He is filled with anguish and anger. Sometimes he writes, when I think of Sarai, I want to hurl hard words at God. That terrible saying of Abraham, shall the judge of the whole earth not do justice? In speech after speech, again and again, Steinberg turns to the question of human suffering, the divine and human response to agony. Again, in his own words, quote, the hard, tragic fact is that of the universality of suffering, the truth that to live is to suffer. All life is a great fellowship of anguish in which participates all of us in some fashion or another. Steinberg's questions were the same questions as Levi Yitzchak, the unspoken theological question of the fourth child. Not why there is suffering, but for what purpose is this suffering? And on that Passover morning in the early 40s, Steinberg's Passover sermon continued as follows. He wrote, quote, there's all the difference in the world between pain that leads to something and pain that leads to nowhere. The former is more bearable and could even be welcomed. The pain, he writes, experienced by a woman giving birth, or in different circumstances, the compromises in health one endures to battle disease, or the sacrifices, anxieties, and strains one accepts if serving a greater good. For it is not pain, Steinberg writes, that's intolerable, but pain that is senseless. If one could be sure that their suffering is for God's sake, what a difference that would make, not only in the midst of a particular ordeal, but in all of life, since life and pain are interwoven. What Steinberg is saying, what Levi Yitzchak is saying, is that if a person is able to determine that their ordeal will have meaning, that is what makes all the difference. And here we are today, a suffering humanity. The terms of our suffering are different than that of the time of Levi Yitzchak and different than that of the times of Steinberg. The suffering is all the same here. And we are in the position of the fourth child once more, wondering if there is meaning to our suffering. And the truth is that I don't know. There are people who are dying. There are people fighting for their lives. There are people without work, without family, without the means to feed themselves. In thinking of the lives that are upended in this hour, I can only adopt the language of Steinberg. The numbers are too large for me to embrace, the anguish they represent too vast for my comprehension. Is there meaning to the present suffering? It strikes me as premature and untoward and unseemly to have the audacity to assign meaning to the sufferings of our hour as we stand in the eye of the storm of this terrible plague. So lacking an answer, I'll offer instead Steinberg's words that day in the midst of the darkness of the 1940s. Steinberg explains that in life, every person always has an audience of at least two people. For the theologically minded, the two are God and him or herself. And for those who lack a belief in God, a person still has always the audience of him or herself. Every person, writes Steinberg, when faced with suffering, has a choice of how to respond. If, Steinberg says, suffering turns that person onto him or herself, making them cruel, selfish, and bitter, then that person's response is a reflection not only of themselves, of humanity, but also of God. If, on the other hand, that person's suffering turns them merciful, kind, and compassionate, if she or he carries their suffering with dignity, then that person's response is a demonstration not only of their spirit, but of humanity's essential nobility, and ultimately, of God's glory. Suffer you will, concludes Steinberg, that is your lot. Fret not to understand why, there's no answer to the question, nor would you understand if it were disclosed to you. Concern yourself rather only with this, that your suffering shall be for God's sake, a task accomplished by enhancing the dignity of humanity, by extending patience, compassion, care, empathy, benevolence to your loved ones, to yourself, and to the masses of humanity in desperate need of compassion and kindness. And in so doing, humanity will be elevated in the eyes of all who look upon you, in the eyes, should you believe, of God, but at the very least, your own eyes. Friends, I have no idea why humanity suffers. Neither did Rabbi Steinberg, Levi Yitzchak, or anyone else. I only know, as did they, that the answer to the question of whether there can be found purpose to our suffering is a question ultimately not up to God, but us. May the memory of Rabbi Milton Steinberg, Harav Michael ben Shmuel HaLevi, be for a blessing, and may we all respond to our present tribulations by making every effort to ennoble our lives and the lives of others, thus granting meaning to our suffering. Good Yontif. Chag Sameh.
Thank you for listening to Park Avenue Podcasts, the place to be to catch the music, sermons, and select programs of Park Avenue Synagogue. If you like what you are hearing or want to learn more about the community, please check out our website at www.pasyn.org. See you in shul. Hallelujah.